The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, welcome back. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's a Sports Friday with Eric Sawyer III. I've got three basic topics for this morning's show. I've got a guest coming in shortly to tell us about a fun run walk everybody could participate in tomorrow as we continue to grow the culture of activeness in the country. That's why I love fun run walks, right? Because you don't have to be a star athlete. The whole purpose is to keep ourselves active and to promote that model to younger Bahamians, that being active is an important part of your personal life. It's an important part of your family life. It's an important part of your community life. And believe it or not, it's a very important part of your professional life. Let me throw another one in there. For people who believe that your body is your temple, it's a part of your spiritual life as well. And so that's why I love this segment. We promote in all things sports. Then I have Demario Cash from the B3As joining me this morning. We continue down the road to Paris. We have some highlights from the New Life Invitational that took place on Father's Day. And of course, NBA playoffs. Now, I'm just going to read some headlines. But first of all, good morning, Mr. Cash.
Morning.
How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. That's Demarius.
Demarius.
Yep.
My apologies.
No problem.
I see you wearing green. You was a Celtic today.
No Celtic.
I almost put on my green.
Yeah, no Celtic. Celtic fine. Just was a shirt in the corner.
Okay.
You know, it's appropriate.
I have this T-shirt that I sort of rescued, right? It's a T-shirt from an old darts team called the Innkeepers.
Okay.
I got it from my auntie. Mm-hmm. I was going to wear it today for Sports Friday. But okay. It's a definitive Celtics green. And I ain't putting on no Celtics green today because I believe they cheat. I just saying, I believe they cheat. I can't wait for Mr. Sawyer to join us as well. And so we could commiserate what he calls the deadest, most boringest NBA finals in a long time. But before we get there, a quick notice from BPL. Bahamas Power and Light advises the public of a temporary road closure to facilitate underground work for system upgrades in the eastern New Providence area. The affected area will be from the intersection of the Eastern Road and Shirley Street to Newgate Road. Newgate Road is the entrance to Blair. That's the affected area. Closures will occur on Friday, that's today, June 21st, from 4 p.m. to midnight. Saturday, June 22nd, from 8 a.m. to midday. And Sunday, June 23rd, from 8 a.m. to midday, 12 in the daytime, noon. Motorists are advised to use alternative routes during these times. BPL apologizes for any inconvenience caused. For more information and updates, visit www.bplco.com or follow us on Facebook at MyBPL242. And that means if you're traveling from the east, you're going to have to figure out if you're going to detour on Fox Hill Road or on Johnson Road. And then I'm not sure if there will be access through, like, to Newgate Road so that you can turn off of the Eastern Road and use Blair's roadway to get to Village Road and then back to Shirley Street if you want to stay on the top side. But please be vigilant, be alert, and let us all in this moment acknowledge that the policy of having road traffic management teams present to provide traffic control during road work seems not to exist anymore. It's not a part of the policy anymore. It appears. Major road works all over the place. Not only do you not get a road closure notice or detour signs for the convenience of the motoring public, but you also don't have road traffic management teams. These are things that we expect from people who call themselves professionals. That's all. We're not dissing anybody. We know that workers are constrained by the limitations of the directions given to them. That's it. We're not beating up any workers. We're not rowing them. We just want road users to be vigilant and avoid any accidents. Now, this is perhaps, it's a very happy moment for me. Story I found on Facebook. Huge congratulations to Oscar Green from Freeport Grand Bahama for becoming the second internationally certified umpire from the Bahamas. He's now ready to shine and officiate at WBSC events. The certification course was proudly sponsored by the Bahamas Baseball Association. I know this boy, Oscar Green. He's my nephew. I'm very proud in this moment. Yeah. Congratulations. This boy is an example. He's a model for men, for women, for teachers, for parents, for coaches. He's just put in phenomenal work and has proven himself to be a community leader. I say congratulations, nephew. I know you as Oscar Green Jr.
That's Oscar from track. Because he's the run back in the days, right?
Right. Yeah. His father used to run back in the days.
Okay.
In fact, I had an opportunity to go to the memorial for Hawk Finlayson on the one-year anniversary of his passing. And they created a beautiful memorial video. And look at me looking at my brother when he was a young boy, because he's significantly older than me.
Yes.
He's a young boy on the track. And so Oscar Green Sr. is the track guy. And I think Oscar Green Jr. may have excelled in track.
Yeah, I think he did.
This focus on baseball.
Baseball.
You know, and the young people.
Oh, he's just showing he's multifaceted.
Yeah. And we have a lot of multifaceted, multidisciplinary athletes in the country. It's why I really appreciate the Sporting in Paradise initiative, right? It's about growing culture of appreciation for sports, its value, its benefits, the opportunities that arise within that space or from that space. This is wonderful, wonderful. I think it's a great time for the Bahamas. Okay, so Mr. Cash.
Yes.
We're on the road to Paris, on our way to the Olympics. How many stops we have left?
Well, like they say, all the roads lead to the old Thomas A. Robinson Stadium next week.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, that's June 26th through all the way till Friday, 3 days of activity, Friday, June 28th. And gates open on Wednesday, 3 o'clock. No, Wednesday, 2 o'clock, Thursday, 3, Friday, 4.
Okay.
And it's going to be fun-filled activities out there where you would see all our top athletes will be in town trying to get on this team, this Road to Paris team, Olympic team. Paris, France.
Absolutely. I found, how many athletes coming out to this event? And will we see any international stars attempting to qualify in the same way that the aquatics nationals have opened themselves up to international athletes using this opportunity to qualify for the Olympics?
Yes. Normally, our nationals, okay, for example, in terms of registration, we have close to over 400 athletes competing at this meet.
Wow.
So it's some huge fields. And because it gives them two opportunities. One for our juniors, they're going to be looking at qualifying for the World Athletics under 20 team, which is in Lima, Peru, and that's called World Under 20.
Okay,
and that's a huge, that's the world.
In fact, I mean, that's
juniors. That's World Juniors.
That's perhaps the most exciting space of all, looking at the potential new stars.
Exactly. Rising stars. And then you have also the seniors, and they're competing for, you know, Road to Paris Olympic team. And in the past, the Federation has always, the B3As has always opened up their nationals to international athletes.
Yeah.
And we have athletes from Haiti, athletes from Cayman, athletes from Dominica.
Okay. All right.
Just to name a few.
Yeah.
We'll be participating.
Now, quick on the side question. I was aware that there may be international players, athletes at this event because of the story I read about international players coming to the swim aquatics.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, I got a little jealous. I mean, a little jealousy in my heart, saying, no, this is an opportunity for Bahamians to qualify. I don't want them to have to compete against this competition. But then I thought, no. You want the world's best. You want your athletes competing in the space with the world's best, because that drives success. That drives talent.
Yes, and it also, it shows, you know, for the Federation, it shows the relationships with other countries is in good standing, because we could allow other countries. And then they do it to Jamaica trials also. But the only thing is those international athletes can't advance to a final.
Right.
So let's say we have two finals, they'll be in the B final.
Right, because it's about time.
It's about time.
Qualifying time.
Yes, but getting that time, and then they know that, hey, in this region, that it shows that we have quality athletes where they could come and try to get their time also.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right. And the facilities, the it's not just the sporting culture, but the competition culture.
Mm-hmm, the competition, yes.
Is strong. Man, this is awesome. Okay, so Wednesday we start at 2 p.m.
Yes.
Thursday we start at 3 p.m.
Yes.
Friday we start at 4 p.m.
Yeah, that's when the gates open.
Gates open. Okay, when are the relays taking place?
Normally, the relays usually take place on the last day.
Okay.
It'll be at the final when we try to contest. We're looking at contesting a few relays.
Yeah.
And just to segue into NACAC, New Life, if you don't mind.
No, absolutely, absolutely.
Our men, 4x1, they ran the fastest time this year, which was 38.89. I don't know if I have the last time right, but I mean 38.89.
Yeah, no, 38.89. The Bahamas A squad win the men's 4x100 meter in 38.89 seconds.
Yes, their target time has to be 38.33, I think it is.
Yeah, I think so as well.
They have to get a faster time than that.
Now, when I see 38.89, and you tell me they just need to get to 38.33, right?
Yes.
We're talking about like 0.5 of a second.
Mm-hmm.
I think I could do that. I could pick up a little speed. But how much energy does it take to improve your speed to by 0.5 of a second?
Well, it could be a variety of things.
Mm-hmm.
But the key thing with those relays is how quick you get the baton through the zone.
Right.
And that comes through, you know, synergy with the guys who are running and practice, which comes through practice. So they'll need some practice sessions. Continue to gel together to try and obtain this time. Because, yeah, you'll need a fast race, but also you have to get the stick through the zone.
Right. And I imagine that's the space where you're either making up time or you're losing time.
Exactly.
Right there.
Yeah.
Now, do we have any training, any clubs that focus on relays and those crucial moments of the relay, passing the baton and staying and remaining coordinated?
Well, from a youth level,
yeah,
we have some clubs who sometimes in their training sessions they focus on it.
Yeah,
but it's not a normal practice.
Mm-hmm.
Only when you get up for games. But then what the Federation tried to do this year, we put together a relay camp in terms of a relay coordinator, which is Coach Dave Charlton, and you know, so you have guys coming in and out, filling that void in terms of getting the stick around, gelling together, because the team that ran on at New Life,
yes,
only one member was a part of that World Relays team, and me.
Right, right.
So there are three different
runners,
guys,
right?
And see that, and that's difficult. People don't understand how difficult that is, because I'm out here in Texas, I'm out here in Florida, bringing us together, and we try to gel.
How do we practice?
Yeah, how do we practice?
Across state lines.
Mm-hmm. You can't do it virtually.
Yeah.
You got to be in person.
Absolutely.
So, and it's the same thing with the ladies. The ladies could have an opportunity to qualify for the 4x1 also.
Yes. Yes. Who are we looking at? We're looking at Denisha Cartwright.
Well, to call names now.
It's too early.
Yeah, it's too early. It's to say who will be available. But we have a pool, a relay pool.
Okay.
Which consists of, I don't like to call names. I may miss one. They may get mad at me. You know, we have a pool of young ladies.
Yeah.
Who would be vying for that team and practicing to try to get to stick through the zones.
Right.
Let me put it like this. We have three hurdlers. Who's a part of that team?
Charisma Taylor.
Yeah, Devin.
Devin and...
Jonathan and Denisha.
Denisha. Patrick. Oh, right. Denisha, congratulations. You just won another award. Another memorable mention. You said she's just sparkling through... Oh, let me go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. All right, caller, do me a favor. Hold the line 1 second. Now, Mr. Cash.
Mm-hmm.
I know Printasia. I know Denisha. I know the two Charltons.
Mm-hmm.
I have a story in here right now. Anthea?
Yeah, Anthea.
Anthea Charlton. Charisma Taylor. When are we going to get these athletes in a residential training situation? Is it, we have to wait till they're out of college? Is college sort of the biggest barrier to that type of training for these athletes? Or how are we going to do it? Are we thinking about that residential training camps to give athletes who don't work together regularly an opportunity to gel, learn each other, figure each other out?
Yeah, and also we have also Camille Rutherford in that mix too.
Right.
She's from Houston.
She came second in her race.
Yeah, she came second.
At NACAC.
Well, college is one obstacle, but then also another thing is funding, trying to get these athletes in one place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I see we have some people joining us in studio. Mr. Cash, close that door for me. We're going to go to the phone line, then I'm going to bring you guys on mic. We all look fast, man. Jealous. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Gray.
Morning. How you doing, Pumpkin Eater?
I'm fine. Good morning, producer. I know you have a heavy schedule here. I just want to ask one quick question to the gentleman. Uh-huh. We still have a mixed relay for the Olympics.
Okay.
Can you answer that?
Mr. Cash, we still have a mixed relay team for the Olympics? I don't, Pumpkin Eater, what you heard? I didn't hear nothing.
Yes, we have a mixed relay team qualified.
Oh, the mixed relay. Yeah, they qualified.
Yeah. Will we see them in the Olympics?
Yes.
Yes, they qualified.
Oh, no one. Yeah, I know, but I know. No one made it official there, right?
Well, I think.
Well, I watch it, but some people don't watch it. Make it clear that we have them. I hope you could bring up the name and I hang up.
Absolutely. Pumpkin Eater, last week.
I'm a post journalist, you know.
Absolutely, Pumpkin Eater. Thank you.
I hope you bring up the name. If you have the name, if you don't, give it to you. And you could do it on your show, because I'm proud of the mixed relay. I'm your partner, you have a good day.
Absolutely. So last week we talked about the, don't worry about that. No. Don't worry about that. Just, yeah, push it back. We talked about the mixed relay team, whether, because my interest was whether Shania, our 16-year-old phenom from Tabernacle Baptist in Grand Bahama, was automatic on the team. And Cash and Longley explained to us that that's not how it works, right?
Mm-hmm.
That there's a pool of athletes that the decision makers observe and assess throughout the road to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And they make the determination of who the best fit will be based on times, based on what they've observed in the most recent practices, based on availability of the athletes, based on the potential, you know, with your assessments, the potential of injury. And so there's a trained body that works with all these athletes that make an assessment of who will make the best team. And what I find, I think this is why sports is such a valuable space, is that the athletes know that. They know that people aren't, it's no curry favor, right? Like, that there's a protocol, there's criteria, there's a standard that's understood within the space and the culture, and athletes understand that there's a number of factors that goes into into creating the team. But we do have a team, right?
Yeah, we do have a team.
Absolutely. And what we know is, we always got, I mean, whether it's Shania on the team or on the reserve, we got her as a backup. Mm-hmm. And for that, I feel we're safe. Absolutely. Okay, gentlemen, good morning.
Morning.
Please introduce yourself to the audience and tell us what you do.
My name is Wanya McCoy, and I do the 1 and 200.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Wanya McCoy. Absolutely. I didn't call your name so much. And sir, to the side?
And, my name is Ian Kerr, and I run the 100 and 200. That's about it.
Good morning, sir. I read your name.
Y'all have something in common. No, I'm not going to mention it, though.
Y'all went to QCA?
Oh, yeah, you know that.
Comets. I would like to say good morning to all of the Sackers across the nation. Good morning, Mr. Cash. You are represented in studio while Comets take it over for right now. So, Wanya. Why you make the switch from basketball to track?
If I be honest, I was always fast growing up, and I never really cared about running track. And then going into my senior year, high school, I break my shoulder, and then I started doing track, and from there I never played basketball.
Ah, right. Okay. Because I almost dunk on a boy once. But God saw what I was going to do with my life after that, and he caused me to break my ankle. I had to change my sport. All right, Ian. In university.
Right.
How much time you have left in university?
I've been graduated out of school now for 2019, so a few years.
Okay, you've been out for a few years now.
Yeah.
All right,
I
don't know
how I look. It's
no, you look young.
I'm a little older, you know.
You look younger than him 1 year.
I am young.
Yeah.
No,
how old
young.
Are you?
Ian, even okay. Do
I'm 21.
21, okay. College life. As an athlete, is college life a boon, like is it a benefit, right? Or is it like an obstacle? The schoolwork, the community engagement, the fans, is that driving you on the court? Or is that something you got to be like, look here, I got to put you all down. I got to get back on this court.
I can be honest. For me, it's like a benefit for me. Because I don't go out, I don't party, do none of that stuff or whatever. But, in terms of what you saying?
What I'm saying is, if it was me, I'd have been in school for 7 years, right?
No, I don't like school. I don't like school that much. But grade schoolwork wise, college way easier than high school. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah,
because you got more freedom. You only do assignments on the weekends. You don't do assignments every single day.
Right.
You have exams every other month, something like that. So
They're broken down. Yeah. They're easier to write smaller chunks of information to absorb. Okay,
yeah. And especially as an athlete, because you don't really have that much time to do a lot of stuff. So when you come home from practice, you're tired, you ain't want to do nothing. And then you bet, I have homework, but then you don't have homework on that day, so you just got to do it for the weekend. So for me, I do my homework Monday, Tuesday, and then Friday, Saturday, I chill out because I have my homework already done.
You got a good work culture that you settled into. What are you studying?
Educational sciences.
Nice. Very nice. You plan to come back home, or do you plan to be a benefit to the Bahamas through your work somewhere else?
Both.
Good stuff. I like it. Mr. Kerr, what you doing?
Well, I graduated in 2019. Mm-hmm. I have a degree in mass communications, and I'm also trying to go back and get my master's in a various, depending on which school accepts me for whichever school accepts me, it will determine the program that I'm trying to do. But for right now, it's either between cybersecurity or project management.
Okay, but give me a second. Mr. Eric Sawyer III, hurry up and call in so you could be on the air with this other sports caster. You ever thought about becoming a sports caster, commentator?
I've done it in the past when I was in university.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. It's been a very diverse field for me in terms of communication. So I've done it all. I've wrote for the paper, the school paper. I've been on the radio. I've filmed. I've done all of it before when I was way back in my heyday. When I was his age.
All right. Now, I see these times, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Very close to the Olympic qualifying times. I mean, by tenths of seconds and things like that.
Right.
what's your training going to be like? Like, so you put in, I know you put in your all, because right. that's an excellent time, 38.89. How much more? What are you going to do in terms of your training routine to enhance these times?
You mean for the relay?
Yeah, for the relay, and then for your individual times.
Well, for the relay, honestly, we just had to run it again. That was our first time running it in what? In life. That was the first time I ever on a team in life. We only get to practice the day before.
Because it was raining
the whole week, so we didn't get to actually do no practice or whatever. So we're going out there basically winging it. And
okay, and that's what you all achieved.
Yeah, so like we know for a fact we run it again, we run way faster.
Okay, all right. See, I don't know what you all do to get that extra push, right? Like, I watch this show called Bar Rescue. I watch a show called Restaurant Impossible, where these experts and consultants come in. They assess and observe, and then they determine the best way to motivate people to their best performance.
Right. So it's just like a coach or like a project manager, essentially. You figure out the best way to do something, the most effective way to do something in a certain amount of time.
Okay. Right. Now, which teams are you, like, when it's time to go to the Olympics? Okay. Gentlemen, I need you to talk directly into the mic.
Yeah.
You can talk directly
into the mic. I got you.
No problem. Okay.
Which teams, or what was your question?
Which countries are you looking forward to competing against in the Olympics? I done put you there. We already there. Don't watch nothing.
Like, who you actually want to compete against?
Yeah, who you're looking forward to running against?
Well, the U.S.
And, the U.S., yeah.
And have you run or competed against anybody or any of the potentials on the U.S. team?
In college, I have. Yeah?
Yeah, and I've competed against a number of them throughout the last 2 years. So I'm very excited to run this 200 in Paris.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely. Yeah. You on the road there. Okay, what do you want to say to spectators? And what do you want to say to young athletes?
You go first.
Okay. Spectators, you know, come out next week. Come watch us obtain these Olympic standards in these various events. And just to the kids, you know, just keep going. Nothing in life is supposed to be easy. It's supposed to challenge you to see if you really want to do it, see if you really want to take it serious. And from there, you know, just give it your all. Everything you do, you give it 110%.
Mm-hmm. And your coaching experiences, I was watching a snippet from the show Shock Treatment, and they had some young men line up.
Because you will not refuse my cook.
Right? And the boy looking at him, why are you wasting the government water? Why are you wasting the government water?
Don't waste the government water, mate.
Right, and then remember the video where he tell the boys them turn right and like three of them turn left
because they don't know their way.
No, it's not that. It's because they're scared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's because they're scared.
Right, when you're scared, your brain is
shut off.
Freak out.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but in terms of athletics, like for young kids, that type of drill sergeant training. In your experience, do you see athletes coming through that type of hard coaching, coming through that, having picked up the most important points, employing them in their practice and succeeding?
Well, for me,
yeah.
I can be honest, I used to be a ranger back in the day, in like grade 8 to grade 10. Uh-huh. No, grade 7 to 10. So during that time, like Mr. Lieutenant Duncan, all of them, they used to be on the island and stuff, and they would be shouting at us and all that. And like me personally, I wasn't used to that. So I probably just do the same thing I'm doing, just doing like free code and stuff. And then like as I get older and stuff, I started to realize that what they were telling me actually made sense. So like when I started like running track and I had to listen to people tell me what to do, it wasn't like hard for me to learn and stuff like that. And then, coaches and stuff now, like they don't really talk to you as hard.
Mm-hmm.
But like if you don't do what they want you to do, then that's when they would like start to like spars on you and stuff like that.
Right.
But for the most part, it'd be... Like, they talk to you like a parent would talk to you.
Okay.
But, like, not from a parent's standpoint, if you know what I mean.
Right. So I think when you're young, it's nothing anybody could tell you about it when you're young, right? Like, it'll make sense to you in a few years.
Right.
Oh, it's good for you. That you don't hear any of that.
No.
You know, but if you stick through it, there are countless examples of Bahamians to show you. If you stick through it, if you love yourself enough, you will find the most valuable parts of those experiences and apply them to your life. Now, Bahamian competition. Name some of the people in your field and the ones you enjoy running against the most. I love friendly Bahamian competition.
Oh, you go first.
You go first.
For me, The most, like, in the 100, my most, for, like, the person I want to run against the most is Terrence Jones from Freeport. That's my boy. But you know where I'd go when we go on the tracks.
they always trash talk.
Trust me, we trash talk on a daily, like, not even on the track. Like, because we all in the group chat together. We be friends. So, like, we trash talk each other on a regular, no matter what. And that's like, for me, at the New Life meet, we know we was in the same race. We was like, whoever run the fastest got to buy each other bamboo at the end of the day.
Nice, nice competition.
And then for the 200, it's the same Terrence and then him. Because, like I said, like, for the 200, we didn't really have that much people that could, like, push each other to qualification marks. But, like, us three could push each other to qualify. And I already qualified, but, like, I can try help them to qualify, too.
Now, Mr. Trials. Cash, is that the key to our success this 2024 season? We got three hurdlers. And that we have three hurdlers means we have a nice pool to drive each other.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always good when iron can sharpen iron.
Yeah.
And you even in terms of practice, when you have persons like that and practicing together, block starts and all this, iron sharpening iron is always good.
All right.
Because you get to see where you are in practice, you get to test. You had in practice, and then it carries over to the race.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know these ladies could run with y'all.
Who ladies?
The ones that qualify for
in,
the...
In what race?
All.
I mean, anybody...
Denisha, Printasia. Hold on.
Let me tell you this.
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody could run with us. The time is they could keep up with us. There's a difference.
So, are y'all training, the men and women training with each other for that same competition, that same iron sharpen iron? Do you get that opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, like... Well, to say train with women, not necessarily. Like, for me, when we're doing, like, blocks and stuff, then we would, like, train with the girls. And at Florida, I had the hurdler girl that won nationals, Grace. Mm-hmm. I did blocks with her one time, and I ain't never do it again.
Girls are fast in blocks.
Yeah, but she...
First 10 meters.
Start, yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's what I tell people. Did you know a human, you could outrun, like, a crocodile for the first 15 meters?
Yeah. Something like that,
but after the first 15 minutes, you don't have a plan?
Problems.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta start climbing?
Yeah, yeah. I tried that once.
Crocodile?
I know the running part. Okay. You run in the one.
One and two. The 200 is my specialty, though.
200 is your specialty. Your specialty?
Also the 200.
Okay. I want Stevie Gardner to run the two with y'all. What's the difference? Like, I see a 100 specialist could run a two.
Right.
Is it the same for a 200 specialist running the four?
It's a little more training that goes into that.
Well, in my case, no. Because I could do it all.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, I just don't like to run the 400. I used to run it in high school, and then I stopped when I got to college.
Okay.
Focus more on the 100. But I was thinking, like, coming to trials, I was like, I would just run the 400 just to see what I could do. But they was like, I have to run the events I want to run at the Olympics, so I couldn't do it.
All right. Now, I had an experience in boarding school. I learned netball at QC back in the day. Right. So when I went to boarding school, we had a varsity netball team, and I was on that. And I wanted to play offense. I was good. It's just a little drop shot, right? A little small, but a little drop shot. I was good. And then one day, my coach saw me block somebody. And she told me, Miss, you ain't gonna never play offense again. You can play defense for the rest of your days at this school. What happened if a coach tell you got to run the 400, McCoy?
I mean, I was trained for it, though. I'd probably be mad, though, because the 400 is hurt. Yeah. But, I mean, if you know, like, that I could make a living off it or, like, be one of the greatest in it, then
you go for it.
Yeah, because, like, coaches, like, even with Coach Cash and all them, they, like, back in the day, they tell me the 400 was my calling. Mm-hmm. I tell them no because I don't like doing it. I just do it just because I could do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, same cry over here. Like, people have been telling me for the longest year and his time to switch to the 400.
Yeah.
And I think after this year, I might have to take them up on that. But, you know, the training for it is just nothing to play with.
Absolutely. We got a caller coming in right now. We go to the call. Mm-hmm. And then I get back to interrogating y'all. I want y'all to understand. We got two superstars in the studio today on the road to Paris. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning. I would just want to say congratulations to all team members that will be going off Paris and those who will qualify in the nationals.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to ask the folks there, you all heard about that 16-year-old who run in a 9.93, he's qualified to go to the U.S. trial?
Oh, yeah, Christian Miller.
Yeah, and then the 18-year-old who run in a 45.3?
He's not even 18. He's 17. Yeah, that's Quincy.
Hey, that's amazing, you know, for that age.
Oh, it is.
Yes, sir. I agree.
The time that he's putting on. Let me ask you something. I haven't heard much. Is Miss Miller, is she in training or is she going to compete?
I'm sure she's in training.
Yeah, because, I mean, they qualify for the mixed relay, so she should be running on that team.
Okay, I mean, I talk about the individual four.
I mean, I hope she running at trials, because she could qualify for it easy. She's one of the greatest ever, so, you know. Okay. But, so as, I mean, I hear she was training, I just didn't know how, like, how training about going and stuff like that.
Christian Miller?
No, Sean.
How good a shape he's in.
Which one? Christian Miller?
Stevie.
Stevie's in good shape.
He just won a Diamond League race or Continental World Tour Gold.
I think Stevie,
a few weeks ago.
In 40 hours so far.
Okay.
Go on.
One more question. I'll hang up and listen. Give me guaranteed, I mean, anything can happen. Guaranteed medals for the Olympics. That's with your take. Who you think that will, gold, silver, or bronze? I'll hang up and listen.
You mean for our team individually?
Yeah, Bahamas. Team Bahamas.
Honestly, I think Devin Jarlingo will win the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Stevie win the Olympics. Mm-hmm. He probably want a new person the best. I want him to run the world record though, but we ain't know how good of a shape he in to do that. But I want him to run the world record. Who else we got? I think Tanisha can medal.
Yeah.
I think Tanisha can medal. I think I can medal.
Yeah.
In the one and two. I think Terrence can medal. I think Ian can medal. You just gotta be able to do it on the day.
On the day.
And you can't be scared. If we get the relays out there, I think our 4x1s can medal too.
Okay.
And we could potentially win because we have more chemistry than every other country does, because we actually like
each other.
And then, if we were to have a 4x4 team that could qualify, I think they can medal.
Okay.
They just had to do it on the day
of. On the day of. Right. And you could be scared. You got to take that fear, put it in your stomach, turn around, turn it into gas, and then push your way through the track.
And eat one little banana to calm the gas in your stomach.
When we get back from the break, I thank you for bringing us to that point. When we get back from the break, I got to ask you all about these Jamaican runners. Is it the yellow yam? Because they're using the yellow yam to make vodka now. Is it the yellow yam? And would we been put in our training camp, Georgie Bundle, for the Bahamian athletes? Caller, hold the line. We're going to a break. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. We'll be right back.
Stay informed with the NASA Guard and your news delivered. Are you tired of chasing down the latest news? Why not have it delivered right to your doorstep? The NASA Guardian is now offering an unbeatable home delivery service. Special subscription rates. 3 months, just $44.80. 6 months, only $79.52. 1 year, an amazing value at $143.36. Your daily news fix all year round. Don't miss out on this opportunity to keep up with the latest in local and international news, sports, business, and entertainment. Subscribe today. Call us at 302-2360 or 302-2353. Our friendly staff is waiting to assist you with your subscription. The NASA Guardian. We've got the news you need. Don't wait. Call now and let us bring the world to your door.
Sign up now for the 2024 Michael Scooter Race.
Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic.
Taking place Monday, July 15th to Sunday, July 21st.
At the Hope Center and the Kendall Ice Exchange.
We are shooting hoops instead of guns.
Phone 601-4842.
Or visit our Facebook page.
Sign up today for the 2024 Michael Scooter Race Basketball Classic.
Peace on the Streets 2024 is coming.
Can Kek Biwo Medical keep with the tetio number multiple service menu na for Terrace Diagnostic Center? Image, c'est ça, nous fait. Même bagay pour l'autre location, nous yo, image na gouverneur, ni na kamakelo. Même si nous t'a besoin, yon radiographie, mammographie, échographie, ou scanner pour femme grosse, nous gagne yo. Yon keep commissionnaire, conseil, radiologue, certifié, tout employeur yo. Yo chaque akwap domain yo. Yo bay docteur ou résultat ou nan 24 temps. Relé 328-81-57 pour rendez-vous nan Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center, location Kamakelod ou bien image nan Grosvenor Jodia.
You try to rest, roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no.
for posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. This is quite a surprise. This morning I wasn't expecting these gentlemen, or else I would have put on some proper tennis and pretended to be sporty. Because one thing Bahamas is good at is putting on appearances. Putting on appearances. Talking about putting on appearances, I'm going to go to the phone line. Good morning. Is that Mr. Eric Sawyer III?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Quite well.
Good, good.
I want to be instigator.
Okay.
Intentionally.
I know I could beat them. That's all you had to say. I know I could beat them. Let's instigate this.
No. Aaron, stop that.
Okay, sir.
Anyway. Sounds like just a little bit of pain is standing between us and the next medal in the men's 4x4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these fellas are still young. They can recover from the pain.
Mm-hmm.
I need them to consider that right after this next Olympics.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, sir.
So
the gentleman called in to tell you all that start preparing yourself for the 400 meters because that little bit of pain can make you better, better, better.
Right. And
thank you, caller.
I love an answer. Yes, it is. It would be nice to see the Bahamas get back to the glory days when we had the 4x4 in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we, as the older guy in the 4x1 group,
mm-hmm.
there hasn't been a 4x1 on the men's side of things on a global, a Bahamian men's 4x1 on a global stage. I think since what 2001, 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, since they broke the national record at the Commonwealth Games in 2018. I think it was.
Okay.
Whichever one was in the Gold Coast. Other than that, I think it's been since 2001, 2002. It wouldn't hurt, you know,
to get a 4x1 men's team.
To get a 4x1 at the Olympic Games or the World Games to see what damage we can be done with the fast young guys that we have running 10-0s, 9-9s, 20-point lows, these mm-hmm. things.
Cash, what a beautiful tension, though, right? What a beautiful tension. The desire to get back, get the 4x4 men's back on the Olympic stage, but bucking up against the desire to put the 4x1
right.
men's on the Olympic
and
stage.
And it's not that we don't want to do the 4x4. It's just, it's going to require
certain people
to run both events.
To do a double, because the 4x4 is the last event. Mm-hmm. And, like, for us, we know, like, for the short sprinters who just now coming up, all us who are in college and stuff, we always wanted to run the 4x1.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, now that we actually could run it, we know for a fact if we actually get, once we get to that stage, we could soar high. We just need to get there. That's our only problem right now, just getting there. And then if we have, like at the track meet we ran the last weekend, yeah, if we had, I think if Team Jamaica would actually show up, we would have run what we needed to run to qualify. But
that energy push you forward.
But I think because they know what type of how do you say this? Like they know how what we capable of doing. That's mm-hmm. why I think that's why they pull out of that race, honestly. And that's why Trinidad show up, because they know for a fact if Jamaica actually show up when we run, Trinidad they have the last spot in. So they know for a fact once all us come back to run, they in problems.
Yeah.
So then I think Trinidad coming to our nationals again to run the 4x1 because they already know we run it again, they're gonna be in problems.
Turn into the tide.
Yeah.
Right. Turn
and then for the four by four. I can run a 4x4 on any given day.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't run sub 3 minutes, like probably twice in my life in college. I run 3 flat, 3:01, all that. So I know what it takes to run fast. You just need a team to get there.
All right. This texter says a little bit of pain. That caller ever run the 400 meters? Because I had a paper cut once and I had to take to my sick bed.
No.
Recovery time from training, from a competition. Are ice baths a normal part of your recovery routine?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, like for me, I take ice bath every week. Like, I hate the ice bath because, like, you know, we don't do cold in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Like, it's necessary. So, like, my trainer, like, if I ask her what I got to do, she tell me to sit there and wait. And then when she come by me, she just go straight in the ice bath. Because she tell me, yeah, at the time I get home.
Yeah.
Right.
You duck out.
So like, you also get used to the ice bath depending on what you have to do during the week and practice. Mm-hmm. So if you have a hard week and how hard it is and you're not tapering and it's a hard week and your coach is loading you up, then you would take an ice bath at the end of the week to deload and kind of stop the body from swelling. And then you take a hot shower to let the blood flow back through your back through the body. And like coming up on Olympic trials next week, I'm running all 3 days and trying to qualify all 3 days. So I'll take an ice bath.
At the end of that competition?
Right, not even at the end. Run 100 heats and finals, take an ice bath. And then run the 200 that Thursday. He eats that Thursday. Take an ice bath, and then Friday after that, I'll be.
And it's the same with me. Well, all us actually doing body events.
Right. Trials.
This could be the first time all us ever run
together.
Together in the 100 and the 200.
So you'll have the ice bath recovery space available to you at the Nationals.
Yes.
Awesome. Now, when you get to the Olympics, though. Is that also, that facility also available for athletes with the type of frequency that you want to access it?
Yes.
Yeah, and then we have, like, at Olympics, we have more rest, basically, like a day of rest. So, like, you could ice bath right after the event, and then the next day you just chill out, do, like, a jog to make sure, like, to get your body back flowing.
Alive, yeah.
And then you come back the next day, you do a shakeout in the morning, then you get ready to run at night.
Wow. I mean, that's a lot of pain.
I mean, it is. But, like...
It's the good pain. No, I know about good pain.
The first two to three minutes is like sticky pain. Right.
But then after that, your body goes numb.
You can't feel that no more.
Right. And so the icing is to reduce the inflammation and the swelling, and then the hot shower after to open back up the channels.
So that's something I just learned within the last like 2 years. Someone, you take the ice bath and then you take the hot shower. It's like a contrast. It gets the blood flowing, and that's pretty much what.
Now,
recovery.
Producer, let's go to the phone line. A quick question. As a younger athlete in high school, Cash, are ice baths used for the under 20s, for high school competition? And through your observation, would introducing that at a lower level in the competition, juniors, produce better performances from junior athletes? Because we're preparing their bodies differently?
Well, it all depends on the system, because different coaches have different ideologies and stuff like that. But normally, the rule of thumb, 16, your body, because even you see it straight across the board with different sports.
Mm-hmm.
At that age, 16, that's when you start growing into your womanhood or manhood.
Yeah, into your adult, you start moving into your adult body.
Yeah, in the adult body, so you tend to introduce that ice bath,
adult
massages, and stuff like that. But younger than that, they just do basic stuff when it comes to maintenance.
Yeah, younger than that.
But I say it's the coach. It's all based on the coach.
Absolutely.
Coaching philosophy.
Oh, man, this is a lovely insight into the space and the road to Paris. Good morning, caller.
Kudos to these fellas for taking an ice bath. That's me. Gotta be a baby, man. As much as they speak about that just now, I get in goal.
Good morning.
Why does
sound familiar?
This is Mr. Eric Sawyer III.
Oh, that's
morning, guys. Morning.
I've got 1 year.
1 year.
1 year. You know why I didn't call you 1 year? Because then people would say, you trying to say, like, way fancy. But I like that. 1 year, McCoy and Ian Kerr. Mr. Sawyer, Ian Kerr can be your sports commentator partner for this National Sports in Paradise initiative. We're going to have the most informative, educational, and entertaining broadcast on the globe.
Right. No problem, man. No problem. Like, he speaks like he's tall, so that's a good thing. You know, got confidence.
Yeah. You know, that's something my parents is big on when I was growing up. So
yeah,
I know
how
to talk,
yeah.
You know. Foolishness,
just letting you know, I don't.
Talk, you know.
Good stuff. Mr. Sawyer.
Hey.
They cheat.
They
cheat the Mavericks.
Some calls going the wrong way. Yeah, some calls. Go the right way.
Okay, Mr. Sawyer, hold the line for me for a second. Okay. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm just saying here. I'm going to go to this next call for a second. You stay right there because I believe there's somebody who want to talk to you.
Sorry.
Good morning, caller.
Golly day. This is Una Weiss along with you again, Aaron.
Good.
No, this is my first time calling you, right?
Yes.
Good morning. Pardon me.
No problem.
To your panel, good morning.
Morning.
Okay. What I want to ask you, right? I'm curious. When you all go to different countries, right? What do you do? How do you get climatized, right, in order to participate in your events?
Well, when you travel in, like, overseas and stuff, you have to, like, leave a few days early to get used to the weather, the time. Because, like, most places, the time zone either behind or ahead. So you have to get used to that. And then you're
so what, how much time they give you in order to, you know, to get your body in shape?
So it all depends on when you're traveling.
It all depends on the team issue with travel. So, like, when we travel with Team Bahamas to, like, meet in the past, we go there, like, 3-4 days ahead, and then we would just, like, stay there, practice and stuff, and then get ready for competition. And then when the meet start, your body, like, adjusted to the time, the food, and, like, yeah, that's basically it. Because, like, the food, I can be honest, you know, food, like, Bahamian food, nowhere in the world.
Right.
So, like, when you go to these places, you wake up and you got to eat, like, rice and eggs and things for breakfast. You ain't used to that.
You got to bring your own salt and bring your own pepper.
Yeah.
Hot sauce.
Like, stuff like that you got to get used to. So, like, you got to go there a couple of days in advance to try to find something that you actually like that you could eat before you compete. Because when it comes to, like, running and stuff, you have to, like, have a certain, like, a meal plan.
Thank
like
you.
Competition wise.
Thank you very much, Braven. That's an excellent question because I'm thinking temperature and altitude are the two biggest things. Oh boy. That's my bad, producer. That's my bad. Mr. Sawyer, call back in. That's me. That's not the producer. That's me. Good morning.
Yeah.
That's my bad. Altitude and acclimating to that is one of the biggest issues.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you had that type of competition? I mean, have you gone to places really, really high?
Yeah, I used to go to school in Colorado.
I did a lot of
meets in those mountainous areas.
Yeah.
So, you do certain things to where you get acclimatized to the altitude or the sea level, depending on where you go.
Yeah. Wow.
I've been to Texas Tech and New Mexico for track meets, and it's hard to breathe up there, especially when you compete. Like, it'd be like hard. Because remember last year at Nationals indoor. When I was at Clemson, we had the little air stuff you had to use after competition and at practice and stuff. Because, like, your body had to get used to all that.
Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I just finished traveling for an insurance conference last week. weekend before last.
Mm-hmm.
And it took, like, 3 days to get over the jet lag. These fellas ain't lying, man.
Get in,
get settled, get acclimated, get used to the time zone and, you know, change in temperature and... Like, it took me 3 full days. Like, you're talking about, I came back last week Thursday morning, and it was a blur until about Monday.
So yeah, no, that's the body takes. I think scientifically it takes about 3-4 days. On the fourth day, I think it is going to be the worst in terms of getting acclimated. A third or fourth day is going to be the worst in terms of getting acclimated.
What do you say on that too? Because, like, I remember when I come back from Oregon, I didn't go back to school. I came straight to Nassau to get ready for the new life meet.
Yeah.
Because it got postponed. So, like, my ticket was booked. So, like, Oregon is 3 hours behind and way on the West Coast. So, I had to fly from the West Coast into three different time zones just to get back on actual time and then come here. So, when I come here, I was going to sleep like 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
My body wasn't, like, I was tired. My body wasn't used to it. So, for, like, the first 3 to 4 days, I just sleeping early.
I wake up
about 6-7 o'clock in the morning, going to, like, 7-8 o'clock, and I ain't used to that. I go sleep, like, 10-11, wake up 8 every day. But, like, now I back to normal time, but I still be tired by, like, 7-8 o'clock.
Wow. Texter here says, in terms of your relay baton passing, how close are you guys to the Japanese standard? And the text he used, passing proficiency.
Everyone does it differently in different hemispheres. So some people in the Western hemisphere on the side, they say stick or reach or whatever the case is, whatever language you speak.
Yeah.
Some people do it silently, don't say a thing. Some people in Europe, They shout on, and they do it kind of underhand.
Uh-huh.
The Japanese kind of do it the same way. It all differs on, yeah, I guess, which part of the world you live in.
Yeah, and I watched, because at U20s, I watched the Japanese and the Chinese practice for the 4x1 that one time. And they was doing it, and they looked good doing it, I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
But, like, for us to do it, I don't think we could do that, because we ain't used to it.
Right.
So, like, for them, like, they probably grew up in that system to where they be doing that from they young. For us, you're just trying to put us out there to do it, that could be harder for us to do.
Absolutely. Mr. Sawyer.
Hey.
They rob us.
Buddy rob us, son. Next. Buddy rob us. Boy, buddy, just Dixon Arbline. No dead art. No, I mean, NBA Finals was brought to you by what is their name?
Bubblegum.
United Healthcare.
It was just a...
United Healthcare, yeah, with all of the injuries that the Celtics had to come up against. Team's best players not playing, guys out all across the NBA, you know, because, you know, like Milwaukee don't get beat in the first round if Dame and Giannis don't go down.
It was a rough season. Mr. Yeah. Sawyer, we all out of time. I want to just read these headlines before we go. Chess Masters compete at Ojan Lindroff Memorial. Now, that was earlier in the month of June, but congratulations to the chess players. Bahamian youth sailors shine on the international stage. We done? Oh, there we go. Shine on the international stage. Bahamas Aquatics ratify 60-member team for Goodwill Championships. Swimming Nationals, probably the largest we will ever have. Pools in the schools. Again, Bahamians put on a show at NACAC. New career high for Jones, 34 points. She's carrying on bad. She's leading the Liberty on an 8-game winning streak.
Boy, listen, but they look good.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something, but Ace in the hole is back on the court. Their point guard that was injured to start the season is back.
Yeah.
So we'll see, but Aces just may run off a 3-peat.
But listen,
it's between those two, though. It's between the Liberty and the Aces.
Yeah.
It's between those two. Those are the two top teams in the WNBA nowadays.
Jonquel put in some work against the Aces earlier this week. Team Bahamas coming together at camp, gentlemen. Clay Thompson, he's joined them at the training camp. We know he's not going to play for the team.
Yeah, that's sad.
It's sad, but we understand. Having star athletes come in and train with you, is that a bonus? Does that drive your competition?
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, I feel as though because all of them coming back to try qualify the team, I think they can make it far, honestly.
Yeah. Okay.
I ain't sure if they could win it all, which I would want them to because that'd look good for the Bahamas. But based on it being the first year they actually trying to do it, I don't think. I mean, they could get pretty far. Let's just see how far they could get doing.
We could do it. They need to win this next tournament they're in to move forward. Whatever group you're in, you need to win it to move forward to the Olympics. Their next games are coming up soon. We're all out of time, guys, but all of these stories are in your local Nassau Guardian. Pick it up, go online, hit the sports section. Look at what all of these phenomenal Bahamians are doing across the globe. Mr. Cash, thank you for bringing these two superstars in studio today.
Comets.
QC Comets in the house all day. Mr. McCoy, Mr. Kerr, thank you. Yes, on behalf of the whole country. Yes, and go to bed early.
Of course.
Go to bed early and eat your conch salad. You guys have a great day. C.A. Newry and Guardian Radio AM is up next. Thank you, producer. Thank you so much.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.